It's Tuesday, December 7th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a primer of the Tech Podcast Network. Here, we've got a great show lined up for you, and I made a mistake. It's actually Tuesday, December 8th, and got a lot of stuff to talk about, and lots of stuff to cover about what happened on the last show as well. You know what's next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check our archive podcast out, available via the podcast link on the website. And, of course, we want you to sign up for our newsletter as well. The newsletter will get you all the show notes that are delivered directly to your inbox, email inbox, that is, immediately following the show. And I basically include in that newsletter everything that I cover during the podcast, and of course, all of the listener-submitted content. So make sure you get over there and sign up for the newsletter. Of course, get subscribed to the podcast as well. So, hey, lots to cover here, folks. And let's start off, first of all, talking about the last show and then all the major developments here at home. For those of you that were watching on the last show, when I came back to the hotel room from dinner, I was freezing. So I had turned the heat up in the hotel room, not really thinking about it. So I had just basically cranked it up. And of course, I'm comfortable. I'm sitting down to do the show. And as the show is progressing and progressing, the room temperature kept going up and up and up. And by the time I got to about 50 minutes into the show, it was probably 90 in that room. And I really didn't realize it, except I kept saying, it's getting hot, it's getting hot. And I started feeling sick to my stomach. I was trying to drink water. I had a bad case of dry mouth. And of course, I'm live streaming. I'm streaming a primetime show because I'm never in the mainland. And it got ugly. I mean, it just went downhill from there. So, make a long story short, I finished a little quick. You notice we went over 1 hour 7 minutes on the last show. And I had like 5 more articles to go, but I couldn't go any further. I thought I was going to, quite honestly, I thought they were going to get to watch me hurl on video. And I signed off real quick. I was gone. It was bad. It was really, really, really bad. But hey, what can you do when you're live? You just kind of got to go with the punches, you know. I'm sure if it would have got too bad, I'd say, hey, I got to step away from the camera for a minute. But it was rough there for just a little bit. And I did a little editing. Broke my golden rule. About 10 minutes of the show was edited. Because it was really, really bad. Now, of course, I'm back here in Honolulu. And does the show sound a little different from home? And it probably does, because with the addition of the new gear here and adding, well, we're going to name the machine behind me for those of you on Ustream. Of course, I want to welcome you, those of you that are on Ustream. We're going to name this, what we're calling right now, Skypeosaurus. We're going to name something else here in a few minutes. But with all the additional patching, with the 24-hour podcast, with everything else that I need to accomplish before we're ready to kick that off on Saturday, I had to go to a bigger mixer. I had everything all patched up, and after the last show, and I'm thinking, I'm short basically an aux channel. And it really, I didn't want to have to upgrade because I just, the mixer that was in there is less than a year old. But I had no choice. So there's a monster. I don't know if you guys can see it back here. There's a monster mixer back there, 16 channels. Five of them are in use. A couple of them are, actually three channels are aux feed channels. So the audio on this, because now I'm feeding the primary, because up to this point, you guys know I've been all analog. Well, hold on to your hats. I made the jump, and I'm actually feeding the Windows machine via FireWire. This machine had a FireWire connection, so I rolled the dice and said, okay, let's see what happens. So we'll see how the sound is. It's not completely dialed in exactly where I want it to be. With any mixer, it takes me about a month to get it exactly where I want it to go, but so it'll be a work in progress. But and I think it's pretty close right now. We'll see how the end product is. Okay, what else? Well, of course, I want to welcome all the new listeners to the show. I know there's a number of you that are watching tonight that are new. Thanks for joining us here on the Geek News Central podcast. Of course, I want to welcome all of the HANA, all the longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for staying subscribed and being part of the family. Of course, we've got 160 countries tuned in to the audio portion of the show right now, and we appreciate that. And as I mentioned again earlier, make sure you get signed up for the newsletter as well. Hey, the podcast awards, boy, I tell you, I'm a little irritated. And if you go over to podcastawards.com, you'll see basically me scolding the podcasters that are basically have been voted on by the listeners. I've got about 140 shows that have not checked in for the awards yet. Some of them are winners. And so it's going to be very interesting come Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern when we start doing the awards ceremony, when some of the shows that have won have not a clue on how to connect up and participate in the award ceremony, which is going to be held in conjunction with my 24-hour podcast, which starts Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern. And basically, I got a little info packet for them. I'm telling them how to connect to the machine back here, how they're going to be able to video in, and how I'm going to be able to patch them in so that the audience members can see them. And it's pretty, it irritates me a little bit that these folks have pressed all of you to nominate. Then they pressed you to vote, and yet they won't do the common courtesy of actually coming over and sending me a single email that takes 15 seconds asking for an information packet and then 5 minutes to fill it out and send it back. We're not announcing any of the category winners this year until the award ceremony. So it'll be interesting. There'll be some shows that will not be represented in their, you know, announcing that they are thanking their listeners. It's pretty sad, but it is what it is. I can only, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right? So we'll just move forward without him if that's the case. And I will make it very abundantly clear at the beginning of the awards ceremony that if you don't hear from your shows, they didn't check in and they didn't care to participate and see how their listeners react. So anyway, again, podcast awards are going to start 8 p.m. Eastern. It'll be streamed at podcastawards.com. Tech Podcast Blueberry will be streamed at, of course, over at my site at geekingcentral.com. So it'll be kind of interesting work in the streams because we're going to have to shut down a stream and bring up a stream for a little bit during the award ceremony. Should be fun. All right, let's talk about the Skypeosaurus naming contest. Lots of great suggestions. And I got one that actually came in after the last show that I liked the best. It came from a listener named Ken Lewis. And the Skypeosaurus, you guys know what that is, right? Skypeosaurus is what I copied that term from Leo Laporte over to Twit. He had built a four Skype machine where four participants can call in. I've got a kind of a Skypeosaurus mini, but we're going to call it the Ohanasaurus. So, you know, the Ohana family. We're going to, and a saurus, keep the saurus in there, kind of give a little homage to Leo and how he named it, but we're going to call it the Ohanasaurus. Congratulations to Ken Lewis, $50 to Ken Lewis for getting the name right, or picking, you know, finding us a good name for the device. So now it's officially the Ohanasaurus back there, and we'll get the screens updated and get some new logos on them. And one of our listeners has been providing me some graphics. As a matter of fact, I've been getting them from two or three different people. But the Ohanosaurus will be what's up there. All right, let's. I'm going to start a new contest tonight. And here we are. We're mid-December already, and all of the sites are coming out with predictions. So we're going to do a two-part. Okay, I want you guys to send me your 2010 predictions, the very serious ones where you take some thought and write a paragraph, and the wacky ones. Okay, we can have fun with those. All kinds of crazy. Predictions. So anyway, we're going to do what I'll do, and let me look at the calendar here. When will our last show be for the year? Actually, I'll be recording probably the last show. I'm not going to, the 31st is actually a Thursday. I don't think I'll be recording on New Year's Eve. So on the 28th, when I record the show on the 28th, we'll read off all these 2010 predictions, and I'll put together a pretty good cash prize package. And we'll take them always. Geeknews@gmail.com. Call in the voicemail hotline at +1-619-342-7365. We'll take them that way so you can call in your predictions. It might even make it a lot more fun. And again, geeknews@gmail.com, where you can submit, if you want to submit a video submission, we'll patch it into the box over here. We can put that up now and tie it into the audio as well. So whatever you want to do, however you want to submit them, please do. Anyway, your 2010 predictions. And it can be anything, tech, science, whatever you want to put up there. Let's make it happen. It'd be a lot of fun. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the 24-hour podcast. I put a post up on geeknewscentral.com last night. I worked well after midnight getting the rough schedule laid out. And all the times that you see on the post at Geek News Central, and actually, let me do a little trick here. And bring this up into the let's take the overlay off and actually scroll down, and we've got the schedule laid out here. We're going to start off again at 11 a.m. I'll take 30 minutes to do some intros and some topics, and then we'll bring a Grammar Girl in on Quick and Dirty Tip Network. We're going to have her business partner Richard on as well, so we're going to talk about Cutie Now. Without a doubt, one of the most successful podcasts in the podcasting space. And so I'm going to be excited to talk with her and her partner for nearly an hour. And then we're going to bring on Rob Greenlee from Microsoft. And he's going to talk about Zune Podcast, talk about Zune on the Windows 7 Media Center. We're going to have some open lines for a half hour. Then we're going to talk about bring on Medical Podcast Network, the Wedding Podcast Network. We're going to do, starting around 4 p.m. Eastern, we're going to do our fourth annual Tech Podcast Network Christmas special. Then we're going to have a CES 2010 pre-show discussion, some more open lines, and it just goes on and on and on. So definitely check that link up. I'll have that in the show notes tonight. There's a donate button there. Again, the 24-hour podcast this year is a charity event for Ronald McDonald House Charities, and you can follow them on Twitter at RMHC. So let them know that we're going to be doing this event. Appreciate it. But anyway, there's the draft schedule, and we'll be getting that firmed up and finalized here probably Wednesday or Thursday. It's not going to shift too much unless people have a real issue with their slot. But I've got some slots available. Of course, in the wee hours of the morning, 2 a.m. Eastern Standard, I've got some open time. Carrie Holtzman from Computer America is going to be on for a two-hour slot with this again in the middle of the night. It's always great to have him on and chat. That's always a great discussion. If you want to take a little nap, come back at 3 a.m. Eastern and hang out with Corey. It's always a great segment of the 24-hour show. But I got a slot at 5:30, an hour and a half. We've got another at 7:30 in the morning. Another hour and a half. So I'm going to be filling these through the week. If not, those are just going to turn into open line times. And I've got a few more shows that I have to kind of play around with, fit them in the schedule. But that's the plan here for the 24-hour podcast. So I'm excited about that. I hope you guys will come and hang out with me sometime during the day. Again, we'll start at Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern and go all the way 24 hours, and we'll see how I do. I always do great, but I swore last year that I wouldn't do this and punish my body like this again. All right, let's go ahead and take care of a few bills, and then we're going to get into the content. I have a number of voicemails for us at the end of the show, so we'll go ahead and take care of some bills here, and then we'll move into the regular content. As always, GoDaddy.com. It's a place for you to pick up domain names, shared servers, dedicated servers, virtual dedicated accounts, and whatever the product may be that you pick up over there. When you get to that checkout counter, don't forget your geek here at Geek News Central. Use those promo codes. And hey, what a great Christmas gift. You got someone in your family that's unemployed that needs to get maybe the word out and, you know, start networking a little bit. Hey, set them up. Set them up with a hosting account at GoDaddy. You can get one real inexpensive over there, a starter one. Get them a WordPress blog going. Buy them a domain name. Hey, that is a great Christmas gift to give them, a productive thing to do to help really get networking and get back in the swing of things. And I know we all have a family member that may be a little technologically inclined, but this is a great gift and a great period to do that. And, you know, for just a few bucks, you can get them up online for a year. Don't forget, you can save 20% by using my promo code TOD20. All the promo codes are listed again on the main page, or a link to it on the main page at geeknewscentral.com. And again, don't forget the codes. And a couple of you emailed me recently and said, hey, I've had some problems with some codes. Your emails have went straight to the top. We're trying to find out what's going on there. If you run into an issue where you're not able to use a code at the checkout counter, do a screen capture for me, send that to me, and I will definitely blast that away. We'll make sure that if you guys are trying to use a code you're not able to, that we get credit where credit is due. And thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at GNC. GoToMeeting. You know, one of the listeners, or actually viewers of the Ustream, said, Todd, for a guy that travels all a lot, and for a guy that promotes GoToMeeting, he says, you know, shouldn't you be using GoToMeeting more than traveling a lot? Sometimes you have to go to the client. I've been doing a lot of consulting, working with a lot of Fortune 500 companies, going in and talking about social media, doing little mini boot camps this year. I traveled 128,000 frequent flyer miles this year with about 75 or 80 days in a hotel and 60 days in Hilton properties alone. And believe me, when I'm on travel, it's harder for me to do my regular business than being at home. So GoToMeeting has come in real happy, help me when I travel. And even though it's designed to help you travel less, it'll help you if you're on the road a lot. So I want to take a moment to tell you about some cool features here. You start a meeting with just a single click of the mouse. GoToMeeting is available for the Mac. So those of you Mac users, don't feel you're not left out. You can change presenters midstream, true 24-bit color. Recording and playback, you can record the session, and then if someone missed the meeting, you can share it with them later. Automatically integrates into Microsoft Outlook. It's great for business customers. And some cool drawing tools, and I'm like an Etch-a-Sketch type of guy with those things. I have a lot of fun. And it includes voice IP as well and phone conferencing. As a listener of this show, you can get a free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting. That's a month of unlimited meetings free. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast for your free 30-day trial. We're going to go and look at my little list here and make sure I have gotten everything covered before we get into what you all came for. And thanks for letting me embellish a little bit on the podcast awards and the 24-hour podcast. It's obviously a big event for me every year. And but let me see here. I got Google Chrome ready here. Which one do I want? There we go. All right, let's go ahead and let me go ahead and switch over here and get into the regular content. I got an email from one of the listeners, and I missed it in the last show. Remember on the couple two shows ago, I talked about the replacing your standard power plug with a USB ports. And I kind of thought, well, it'd be nice if they had more than just one of those on there, you know, or more than two, I meant, two USB ports. And, you know, how come they just can't double it up? Well, lo and behold, a company has come out with a cool product, and the page is still loading here. It's called True Power UCS Power Outlets with built-in USB ports. So not only do you retain the actual plug, you actually now get two USB charging ports as well. $995 is this device. So again, you don't lose any power because you're able to still plug regular components into it. And then you get two USB charging ports. Very smart. I'm going to buy about 20 of these. There'll be one in my bedroom, two in the kitchen, three here in the office, one in each kid's room. Everything needs a USB device these days. And if they're smart, and if they're energy smart, think of all the transformers and stuff I can get rid of. This is $995 a device is well worth it, and definitely something that I'm going to be playing around with. Let's go ahead and talk on about the next article here. Let me go ahead and flip. This is over. I found this over at Engadget. Of course, this made big news today, talking about Boxy. Boxy has picked a partner. Boxy is going to be coming out on a device that is going to be designed by the companies at D-Link. And they've actually got a picture of this thing already. Now, I don't know if they've actually released the box, but it's, you know, in theory, it's about ready to go. It'll have the Boxy operating system running on a set-top box that'll have a LAN connection, HDMI output, optical connections, of course, audio output, and some USB ports. But this is exciting what they're going to do here. You know, the major television networks, they have to be absolutely terrified of companies like this. And I'm telling you, this is one of the reasons why I continue to work on bringing the video portion of this show up to a standard where I want it to be, because it's not going to be very long before my content and other people's content are going to be on these boxes. And I'm excited about it. But we'll see what happens here. And if those of you have been running a beta on your computer or so forth, you already know the power of this thing. And so anyway, look forward to actually seeing them bring this online. So let me go ahead and switch up here. I know we've got a number of folks that listen to the show that are vision impaired, and you may actually have to have a Braille reader or use a Braille interface to communicate. Now a company called Squibble is coming out with a Braille interface that's handheld. This doesn't have to be put on a desk, and you don't have to hold your fingers over the top of it, but this is going to be a great product for the blind. It's from a UK designer. His name is Andrew Mitchell. The pocketable Braille interface allows users to operate mobile phones and other technology over Bluetooth using 779 ultrasonic monitors to lift illuminated caps against a silicone cover to form Braille letters and other easy-to-understand icons. There's also audio feedback and a grip that allows for use without having to set it down flat like other Braille readers. It's pretty cool stuff, and we're supposed to see this on the market relatively soon. It is a concept design right now, but for our blind listeners, it's basically about the size of your palm with six buttons on it. And then it has a little slide-up deal where you can actually feel, and it looks like 1, 2, 3, 4 rows of Braille are on it. And pretty ingenious stuff, an up button, a down button, a left and right button that is all indented with Braille. So very cool stuff, and love to get this in one of your hands. I'll be sending him an email, and maybe we can get one of the Ohana, one of these devices, one of these trial devices to give it a run for its money. Drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com and see what I can come up with and getting you guys connected up with this product. All right, let's talk about a couple of articles that I wrote on my website. I broke my Kindle, folks. I had my my headset along with my Kindle sitting in the bottom of my seat. I got up out of the when I was getting ready to get off the airplane, and I pulled my bag out of the overhead and put it down in the seat, and basically put essentially one of the hard plastic stubs right in the middle of the screen and broke it to smithereens. It's pretty sad. And I really was just like, oh. As all of you remember, some very generous listener of this show sent me a Kindle a couple of years ago, and I broke it. So I have so many books on it, and I become so adorned to it that I came home and I showed my wife it, and she's just like, oh, you lost your pet. And I had to go and order another one. It wasn't $295 I was planning on spending, I can guarantee you that. But it's the first electrical device I broke in a long time. What have you broke lately? I'd love to hear from you guys and what you broke lately. Geeknews at gmail.com. All right, let's talk about Clear. As you all know, I picked up a Clear modem, and I was basically going to test here between my DSL connection and the Clear connection to see which one was going to work best. And did a speed test, basically got down to the nitty gritty and did some, hardcore testing. And what I found over testing about six or seven different servers, and I used a variety of speed test websites, was I found, and I've got full bars on my Clear connection. Basically, the little device that you basically comes with this is a modem with some lights on it, and it shows you your single strength. I have very high single strength. I have a direct line of sight to the hill on which the tower is on, so there's no really trees or anything interfering with it. And I saw a download speed of 3,571 kilobits per second with an upload speed of 470 kilobits per second. Now, compare this to my DSL connection that I had dropped in here, which I was originally guaranteed 7 megs down. I have a steady 3 megs down with my DSL and a steady 1 meg up with the DSL. Now, I've been playing some tests with it and basically playing videos on YouTube, videos on Ustream. I've been checking different sites and seeing how email connectivity is. And what I'm finding is the Clear is still stuttering. I'll play a video and it'll play for a little bit and it'll stutter, play. Email, sometimes I get disconnected, interrupted. That's on the Clear connection. And I'm sorry. I really, really am. I was hoping that Clear would be able to really get their act together, but I just cannot stand behind what I'm experiencing right now. With this connection, it's, there's not a lot of us here in Hawaii that probably have the upgraded modems already. It's just not happening, folks. It really isn't. And, compared to 1.5 kilobits down before and 350 kilobits up, I'm really getting about twice the speed with just marginal increases in upload speed. So, if you guys have been thinking about going Clear WiMAX as a secondary connection, or, what I have here is I've got cable with Oceanic or Time Warner, and then I have a DSL connection with Hawaiian Telecom. Basically, I need the two connectivity points with all the data we're pushing. And the Clear's not cutting it. The Clear's going. I'm going to cancel the Clear and eliminate that $39.95 bill to something that can be spent otherwise. But I gave it a good shot and tried everything connecting directly to it, just not happening. So anyway, that's what's going on with the Clear test. Now let's talk about Sprint. And you guys know that I'm not real happy with that U300 card. And I publicly made my case online as well over this, and I'm really irritated because I got home on a Saturday afternoon and I called my buddy who lives just down the street. I said, hey, can I borrow your, he has a Sprint 3G card, and I said, can I borrow your 3G card? And he says, yeah, come over and get it. And I grabbed his 3G card and I came to the house and hooked it up, and his 3G, which was the same card as mine, my Novatel, the one I'm not using anymore, the Novatel U720, I was getting a good 1550 down, 1550 kilobits per second, and a good 500 kilobits up, rock steady, no issues, no problems. Now, when I put my U300 card into the mix, I get a whopping 515 kilobits down and 90 kilobits up. Horrendous connectivity speeds. That's the same exact tower, same exact network, but simply a different card. U300's junk. Now, switching into WiMAX mode, 4,071 kilobits per second down, 423 up. So their speed beats ClearSpeed on their Sprint WiMAX. So this is here in Hawaii, their 4G network. So the WiMAX was pretty good. But still, again, I was getting better upload speeds on my Novatel U720 on the 3G network than I'm getting on the WiMAX network. I was getting 500 kilobits up versus 423. Something just doesn't add up. I don't get it. I really don't get it on what's going on. Today, I took the card and I went multiple places in Honolulu. I actually had to go visit a customer and was in his building, concrete building, and said, hey, can I boot my computer up and check something? And he said, sure, and I did. And I was able to get a 3G signal through concrete walls, but I was not able to get a WiMAX signal at all. I went outside the building, and the WiMAX came alive. So penetration of concrete buildings or buildings at all with WiMAX is definitely not real good. 3G, I was able to connect up, but I'm still getting into poor speeds. So anyway, that's my kind of my result. I'd love to hear what everyone else is experiencing out there. This technology's got a ways to go, folks. It really, really does. And we will see. We'll see where this takes us. All right, I'm making a little adjustment here. And if you want to see my results directly, you can come over to geeknewscentral.com. The results are directly on the main webpage. All right, let's go ahead and move off my content and on to other sites' content over at gigaohm.com. What's coming in 2010? Forecast from around their network. And so, again, all these 2010 predictions are coming out. And I'm going to link up to a bunch of these, and you guys can check them out. But again, I want to hear your guys' predictions for 2010, okay? All right, let's go ahead and talk about Google. Google has been announcing just a huge, huge number of initiatives. And we're going to talk about a few of those a little later in the show. But can you imagine being a startup and having to do anything that is search, mobile, telephone, anything that Google could even hardly get their tentacles in? Wouldn't you be just scared to death? So there's an article about what startups did Google just declare open season on. And, there's this long list. They announced an image search capability for the Android phone. You basically take Google goggles. You just take your cell phone. You hold it up to, you take a picture of an object. And then they're able to search based upon the picture you took on your cell phone. And, that goes against companies like Pixa, like.com. Then we've got all this geolocation stuff. And actually, we're going to have a geolocation specialist in here on the 24-hour podcast. It'll be in the morning, Sunday morning, just before we close out, the hour before the last, actually an hour and a half before we finish up. He'll be in talking about geolocation. And so all this geolocation stuff that Google is doing, if I was a startup, I'd be scared to death. Google has just continued to, they're just like boom, 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 boom. All these new products are coming out, and it's going to be interesting to see where it all goes. That's for sure. Okay, let's talk a little bit about some geek gifts. And we all want cool stuff, right? What is on your guys' geek gift list? Well, I tell you what's on my geek gift list. It's the Lilliput Mini USB monitor. For $99, you can get a little 800 by 480 monitor. It's about this big. Plugs into your USB connector, and it works as a little second monitor, maybe to monitor chat and that kind of stuff. Now, unlike I need any more monitors here at my desk, but you never can be too much glass. You got to have plenty of glass. And everyone needs a little USB LED beverage cooler. I think I'm going to need one of those for the show on Saturday. But all kinds of cool geek gifts here. And it's jkontherun.com. I'll have the link up in the show notes here. All this stuff is pretty nifty. If anyone feels like they'd like to send me a little Christmas gift, hey, I think everything would be cool except for the cube playset. I'll pass on the cube playset, but it would make a kind of a cute decoration in here. So what's your guys' favorite gift on this list? Hey, talk over to Robin Good's website at masternewmedia.org. Robin's good at just doing big overall reviews of different services, and he's got a good review of send large files to any of any size, and he gives you a guide to the best tools and services to transfer large files, a whole variety of different services that are out there and available. Now, too often on the show, I kind of talk to the married folks, but I know that we have a number of single listeners that are part of the show, part of the Ohana. And, you know, during the holidays here, everyone is, you know, doesn't want to be too lonely. So what I have found, actually I got to flip the wrong screen here. Push the right button, Todd. Let's take the overlay down. I have some 10 essential iPhone apps to avoid dating disasters. Some fun apps you can load on your iPhone. And here's one that you really want to load up, guys. Automatic awesome pickup lines. And I'm seeing from the app, there's some some good ones not there to use that you shouldn't use. Talking about finding dating ideas, romantic dinner ideas, dining etiquette. You know, all of us men, we have a tendency to eat with our hands. And when you go on a date, you obviously should, you know, try to at least pick up the right fork at the right time. Conversation starter topics, an answer wiki, an excuse, you know, if you get into one of those dating situations where you need to go off and, you know, talk to your mom or something, you have a little excuse thing that allows you to, you know, basically excuse yourself from a conversation and go do something else. And this last one, fellas, you endear yourselves to your lady friends if you carry a little makeup kit for them. I wouldn't recommend that one, but it's basically an iPhone app. You guys will get a kick out of it. But anyway, this is mostly for the fellas. So ladies, if I find some stuff for you guys, I'll link it up here and we'll get something in the show for you. Okay. So don't tell the single guys on the show. Don't say I never did anything for you. Okay. I'm sure there's some stuff in there that will really help you out a lot. All right. Why Microsoft shouldn't kill the 150 Windows 7 family pack. This is an article over in Ars Technica. I think it's too late. The official Windows website says that the Windows 7 family pack offer has ended. So if you want a 3-pack for $150, another Windows 7 Home Premium, you see a family pack, you better grab it because they're not going to last very long. They're going bye-bye. And if you find a store that has some, grab them up because you might be able to sell them on eBay. But yeah, they're fastly disappearing and probably won't see them around too much longer, if at all. All right, and those of you that are Canucks Canadians that live our northern friends, oh my goodness, this is an amazing time for those of you that are music artists up there. There's an artist lawsuit going after the major record labels. There's a class action lawsuit that could be result in a settlement between $50 million and $60 billion. Now, I know that's a big number. You start with this little number at $50 million and then go all the way up to $60 billion. But it's saying that $60 billion may be owed to musicians and artists in Canada, but not from your run-of-the-mill file shares. The Canadian recording industry itself is being accused of massive copyright infringement, and the list of miffed artists just keeps getting longer. Now, what blows me away here is how many of you have seen, you don't see these a lot in the United States. I see these a lot in Europe and in Asia countries. How many of you have seen compilation CDs where the best rock music or the best dance music, or, you know, it's basically a 5-CD set with, 60 songs on it, all from different artists. I see these all the time overseas. Well, apparently, this is the case in Canada, too. And some of our Canadian listeners can weigh in here. But apparently, as music companies were putting together new products and selling them, they did not have to ask for rights of the artist to actually put the music on the compilation CDs or, you know, however they were distributing them. And they would, it was basically like this, almost like just do it and then ask permission later. Well, the problem is, through what they're calling a pending authorization and payment, they never got the actual authorization afterwards. They didn't go back and actually get approval. But what, and to make it worse, they never paid. So from like 1980 until now, over 300,000 songs have been illegally distributed and put out and sold for profit by a variety of recording industries, and the artists have been paid nothing, a goose egg. So they feel, because this is a punitive damage lawsuit, that this could basically kind of come back to smack the recording industry in a way that is kind of how they're treating peer-to-peer violators. There is a $20,000 Canadian fine per infringement. So if you just do the math, they're saying that there could be as much as $60 billion on the table as penalties if they use the maximum infringement rate of $20,000 per infringement. You know, hey, they make us. If we get caught doing peer-to-peer stuff, what are we paying? $5,000, $7,000 a piece for each infringing song? Hey, sounds like fair play, right? Back at them. So we'll see what develops with this. I'm sure there will be some sort of, well, I hope they really put the hammer on them. Because, you know, if they're not even attempting to pay artists any of their fair share of the royalties, then they should be punished heavily. Let's talk about Comcast and their proposed acquisition, 51% acquisition of NBC Universal. Of course, as a disclaimer again, the team from Tech Podcast will be appearing on the NBC Universal stage at CES both Saturday and Sunday. We'll have two live streamed events, and we'll be talking about those more later. We'll want the Ohana to really turn out in force. We got some cool stuff planned. Let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to bring a bunch of vendors on. Rapid fire, boom, 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 boom. And they're going to get to pitch their product to you real quick, 3 to 4 minutes tops per vendor. And we're going to rotate them in, boom, 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 in and out, in and out. You guys will get to see some of the coolest stuff we get to see up and personal. And it'll be some cool streamed events there Saturday and Sunday at CES. And again, that coverage kicks off on January 5th. So let's talk about Comcast and what they own. I'm shocked. This is an article, again, over in Ars Technica, talking about what exactly does Comcast already own. And this list is amazing. Do you know they own Plaxo, Plaxo.com, the social networking address book site? They own, what else do they own? Fandango? I didn't know they owned Fandango. They own Fancast.com? I've been over to Fancast. I had no idea that was a Comcast property. And then they have a whole bunch of TV stuff. They've got E! Entertainment Television, the Golf Channel, Style, Comcast Sports Network, G4. what else have they got? They have a variety of sports entertainment franchises. For those of you who live in Philadelphia, you can see the Philadelphia Flyers and Philadelphia 76ers exclusively through Comcast. Just a huge amount of stuff. And I didn't realize their reach was that big. But anyway, their goal, 51% of the NBC Universal. We'll see what the FCC and FTC decide on this. All right, future of Wi-Fi. gigabit speeds and beyond is being predicted in a couple of years. We're going to cross the 1 gigabit per second threshold with Wi-Fi access points. And in the pipeline right now is 802.11n. And could see raw data rates of 450 megs per second and 600 megs per second. And the gear that's going to be coming into our homes over the next couple of years may have as there may be like dual radio receivers and transmitters that are actually in these devices. It's going to get pretty crazy. Now, of course, on the big side, where we're actually talking about 3.5G and 4G cellular wireless networks, we're going to see speeds that they could, if they're unlocked, deliver 20 to 30 megs of real throughput or potential 54 megs per second. So we'll see what happens here. But based upon what I'm seeing so far rolling out with Clear, it's just a small incremental increase. They're going to have to get really a lot better here in a hurry. All right, how many of you participated over the weekend in this Defense Research Agency project where DARPA released 10 balloons, 10 weather balloons in a contest to assess the accuracy of which information spreads on the internet? The giant moored weather balloons were launched on Saturday at 10 undisclosed locations across the United States. And then more than 4,000 groups competed to be the first to pinpoint all 10. A team from MIT won the challenge in a prize of $40,000. And they did it in just an amazing record amount of time. But what they did was, is they basically said, if you help us and you cite one of these things and you let us know where it's going, we will make, we'll clue you in to some cash. So I think 9 hours is how long it took the guys at MIT to pinpoint all this. So I guess the goal here was by the U.S. Defense Department was to see how accurate social networks were in reporting information. Now, you should really think about that for a second, okay? The word goes out on TV. You know, look out for this specific thing. And if you see it, report it on Twitter or Facebook. You know, everyone's going to be looking, right? Especially if they, you know, if the word spreads socially. You know, how many millions of people are here in the United States and their eyeballs all tuned to looking for a specific thing? Pretty powerful stuff. And if the DOD is looking to harness, you know, folks to look for weird things going on, great way to do it. Great way to look for UFOs, by the way. All right, over on BBC. Can electric cars attract the attention of drivers? Well, they're talking about the growth of electric cars in Japan. And Japan has been very, very aggressive. The Japanese automotive giants have been stepping up their manufacturing of environmentally friendly cars. But the biggest problem they're having right now is a lack of infrastructure for the cars to get them charged. Many places are offering actually free charging for people to come in, like if you come into a convenience store. So there's, you know, some places that are starting to make it available. But they've got some mini vehicles that are basically capable of around 80 kilometers, and that's not very far. 80 kilometers on a single charge, and then they can pull into a gas station or whatever it may be and get a full recharge in 30 minutes. Well, yes, why don't you sit over here and wait for 30 minutes while we charge your car that it can only go 80 kilometers? Yeah, that's going to sell good. But if you're a business and you're just, you know, you have little short runs around town and you got a place to plug the thing into when you come back to the office, might be smart, but they're coming up with a variety of ideas on getting these vehicles charged and talking about contactless energy transfer. Basically, you come up to a stoplight and they'll have plates in the ground where you actually will get a charge through connectivity. And it could be prove to be interesting. Can you imagine it reads your RFID tag and it basically bills you for every oh, you get charged for driving on the road by getting charged by the government. Isn't that? No, I can't say that twice, can I? All right, big news out of Mojave Desert. And, you know, the folks over at Virgin Galactic have unveiled the suborbital spacecraft, the one that they're going to use for taking tourists up. And I really would like to be selfish and start a fund for your geek here. Really, it wouldn't take a lot. You know, if every listener of the show committed a couple of bucks, we could get the old geek here a ticket to take a little spaceship ride. The new spaceship looks remarkable. The pictures are remarkable. If you haven't seen this already, you got to check it out. A lot of composite materials have gone into this. They're going to take the vehicle to 50,000 feet before letting it go and getting up to the altitude that they're going to be able to get to. Your $200,000 will buy you 5 minutes of weightlessness. You know, they're going to have to do something about that. 5 minutes is not enough. You know, if I'm going to spend 200 grand, you know, because, hey, the International Space Station, to get to the ISS, that's the ultimate ride, but that's like $23 million to do that. So, you know, that's unattainable for, you know, 99.999999% of us. But 200 grand, we might be able to raise 200,000 to send the old geek here to do a little space flight. And you're thinking, why me? Shouldn't I? Why can't I go? Maybe what we ought to do is run a big fundraising thing and take two of us, me and one other person from the audience. Would that be cool? But 200 grand for 5 minutes? That's not too long, is it? Now, it's going to be fun with a ride up, but hey, I want to really get up there and look around for a little while for my 200 grand. But that's what they're saying. Now, how many people have lined up already? Well, $42 million worth. You can do the math real quick on that. But folks have already laid out $42 million to book a trip to the edge of space. And one of the folks that did was a gentleman by name of John Criswick. He's an Ottawa entrepreneur who's booked a U.S. $200,000 flight on board Virgin Galactic Spaceship 2. And he went out there for the unveiling. But yeah, you can lay out 200 grand. And he's one of 13 Canadians. And then there's as many as 300, I guess, have already made some sort of a deposit for a flight that would take them 110 kilometers above the Earth. But yeah, that's I don't have 200 grand laying around, and I don't think my wife's going to let me start making payments on that. Fat chance, but boy, how can I talk her into it? What do I need to do to talk her into it? What do you guys think? And what would make it convincing enough where we would run some fundraisers here on the show and garner enough money to make it happen? We could do it. We really, really could with the number of people that listen to the show. And everyone wouldn't have to give very much money, that's for sure. So what do you guys think? Think we should go for it? Think we should do a fundraiser, see if we can get to 200 grand or 400 so we can take two of us? I think it would be really cool. But we'll see if they get this thing off the ground. And maybe the prices will come down. Maybe a couple years from now, maybe they'll start discounting it when they start running out of the, you know, the first tier guys. Now, I love some of the NASA stuff out there. NASA has launched an app for the iPhone and iPod Touch. So some very cool application here. I haven't downloaded it yet, but I found it just during show prep tonight. So I'll definitely be putting that up. Actually, the article is still loading. It's over on Computer World. So if you can't get enough here of NASA, the NASA app 1.1 has been launched. You'll be able to watch NASA videos, NASA launch information, countdown clocks, and get easy access to NASA Twitter feeds. They sadly say there are no plans at this point to extend the offer to Google Android, BlackBerry, or BlackBerry. But I think if all of you put enough pressure on them, they might consider making that happen. All right, this next article I'm going to spend a little bit of time on. and probably I'll spend too much time on it, make us go long. But Nielsen, and this is an article over on SealNet. You know Nielsen, those folks that send you a little booklet and ask you to actually, you know, or actually have a TV monitoring thing on your TV, or, you know, make you fill out logs on what you're watching. I don't believe this information that they, this, I don't believe what they have put out. I really don't. Okay, so I'm going to use my age group, 45 to 54. It says, on a weekly basis, on traditional TV, folks have watched an average of 34 minutes a week. Watching time-shifted TV was 33 seconds. Using the internet, or is this hours? Is it 34 hours or 34 minutes? It's got to be 34 hours. Okay, on traditional TV, we watch an average of 34 hours a week. Time-shifted TV, 33 minutes. Using the internet, 6 hours and 44 minutes. Watching video on the internet, 30 minutes. And mobile subscribers watching video on a mobile phone, 2 minutes. Okay, so let's break this down a little bit. How many hours are you guys spending on your computer at each day? You spend more than an hour on your computer? I know this audience spends more than an hour on their computer. I'm on my computer like 18 hours a day. 34 hours of watching traditional TV. This is what blows my mind. I have not watched an hour of television that didn't come out of my DVR in years. I watch all time shifted TV. How many of you watching? You got to email me, geeknews@gmail.com. And I want you to go to this article, and I want you to look at your age group, and I want you to break this down and see if this matches you at all. We have got to be slanted. I can't believe that this audience, or anyone in particular, would be spending only 33 minutes watching time-shifted TV. And watching 34 hours of live TV? I can't fathom that. And I can't believe the average person watched a total of 31 hours of television per week. 31 hours? That's like 9 hours less than a full-time job. Are people watching that much TV? What's on TV for 31 hours? Let's see here. How much do I watch? I watch a movie with the kids on Friday and Saturday. That's 3 hours. I watch maybe an hour, three, five, maybe eight hours a week tops. Not even that usually. I usually watch news before I fall to bed, go to sleep. I usually have the news on and watch the news and fall asleep watching the news. It just blows my mind. It really, really does. Anyway, I have these numbers up. You look at the age group. Tell me if this makes sense to you at all. Geeknews@gmail.com. All right, not happy with your iPhone? AT&T's got an app for it. You can pick up an iPhone app from AT&T that allows you to complain to the company when you have a drop call, when there's bad connection, allows you to mark the spot. Got to have it, got to do it, got to complain back. So if you've been complaining like I have about AT&T's network, download the app and provide them lots of feedback. Those of you that live in major metropolitan areas, you're going to have fun with this. You really, really are. All right, let's talk about the crunch pad that wasn't. And let's talk about the crunch pad being renamed to the JoJo. No, I'm not joking. It's the JoJo. Who picked that name? The JoJo? It sounds like something like a yo-yo that would I buy for my kids. The JoJo. Crunch pad sounds cool. JoJo sounds like a toy that you get from Mattel that's $4.95. Well, I found this there was a big padoo today, and there was a video feed, and the Wired picked up and got their hands on it. The crunch pad that Michael Arrington promised at around $200 is now going to be $500. Boots up in 9 seconds. It has a Unix backend. It's only for surfing the internet and two or three other things. Why is this going to fail? And I'm going to tell you why it's going to fail right now. $500, too expensive, cost too much money. And also, there's too much hype out there that Apple's coming out with their own thing. Probably the lawsuit at TechCrunch is going to cause an issue. Crunchpad, JoJo. That just, Arrington should win just on grounds of the naming. And Chrome. Chrome OS, Google OS is coming next year. This device is doomed. D-O-O-M-E-D. You say what you will about Michael Arrington. You may like his sites, you may not. You may like his writers, you may not. But that would be the last guy on the internet that I would want angry with me. He's got lots of money, lots of lawyers. He's a lawyer himself. And I would not want this guy upset at me. He will, you know it's going to be ugly in the background. But there's a lot of people, they're smiling over this. They're happy that Michael's gotten take down a few notches. Okay, I'm going to bust through these last few articles. Let me know what you think about the JoJo. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Okay, let's talk about a cloud-based WPA cracking services. Yes, for $34, you can test the security of your WPA password. The WPA Cracker website states that the WPA PSK networks are vulnerable to dictionary attacks, but running a respectable-sized dictionary or WPA network takes about 5 months. But they're going to use a series of computers, and they can do a test and see how good your WPA PSK password is and get you a result in about 20 minutes for $34. Just use a variety of characters. You know, you don't need to do this. Our fingerprints basically go where we go. And, police use fingerprints to, find out who did a crime, and you get arrested, and, no one's got the same fingerprints. But what the Chinese are doing is a 27-year-old Chinese woman was discovered to have her fingerprints surgically swapped between hands. Yes, you're hearing me. They took the fingerprints from this hand and put them on that hand in order to fool Japanese immigration. I think that's why in the United States you have to do both fingers when you're doing immigration. But the apparent ability of illegal migration networks to break through high-tech controls suggests that other countries who fingerprint visitors could be vulnerable. And, of course, the United States does this as well. But this is the first known case of them swapping surgically. That's got to hurt. How could you not see the stitches on that? That would leave a mark. And that would, boy, I wonder what she did to have to want to try to subvert the Japanese that way. Over on the New York Times, FCC may pry open the cable set box. Man, when was the last time you guys seen a cable set box in Best Buy? You don't, right? Because the networks have them locked down. Well, we're all going to these boxy boxes, Voodoo box. We got Apple TV. Why not, as the FCC may be forcing finally, let's get that box on lock so we can put whatever we want in there, make it internet capable. One box on our set top, and that's it. Bravo. Bravo. 5-page document titled Comment Sought on Video Device Innovation appeared on the commission's website. I have this linked up in the show notes. Go over, make your comments, scream, be heard, be a good geek. Go over there and say, hey, open these boxes up. Allow us to put what we want on them. It's time for the cable set box that has been controlled by the cable companies to go the way of the dinosaur. It really, really is. You guys heard about the DARPA wanting to turn soldiers into zombies? They want to come up with a cocktail of chemicals that will essentially, if a soldier gets hurt, basically in a combat zone to be able to give them the injection of this and will shut them down so that their metabolic rate slows down, gives them longer to get them to an operating theater to get them fixed up. This is like sci-fi stuff, folks. They've talked about this in sci-fi. If you read any star-based sci-fi books, that's what it is. You know, Shoulder gets his, in these sci-fi books, the soldier gets his leg shot off, and they immediately put him in like deep stasis mode into getting back somewhere where he can be fixed and have his legs regrown and so forth. Of course, that's in sci-fi books. But DARPA is serious here. They're trying to starve off battlefield casualties by shutting soldiers' systems down in order to get them off the battlefield. Who are they going to test that on? Really? who's gonna volunteer for that test? Step right up in here, soldier. We're going to give you a shot to shut your systems down, and we'll see what happens. We hope you wake up. Google has added a real-time search to Twitter, Facebook, and MySpace feeds. So this is big. Google has begun adding real-time results to its internet search engine, channeling feeds from Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, and other fresh content into response to queries. So you, whatever you're doing on the net, you better be feeding it back to your Facebook page and so forth, because real-time searches are going to be helping drive traffic to your Twitter posts and those links within those Twitter posts. I think Mark Cuban's got it. I think we'll end the show on this. Success and motivation. What will you remember when you are 90? Will you be able to sit back when you're 90? First of all, you got to make it to 90. Will you sit back when you're 90 and say that I had a successful life and what I did, I accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish? And he goes into some of the things that he's done. And he was very lucky. He was very smart. And, you know, he made a lot of money. But for us lowly, humble folks down here, when we're 90 and we sit back and look at what we do, will we be proud of what we did and be able to say we made a difference? And, you know, you can look at this in a multitude of different ways, business, family, friends, who people you touch helped. So as we head into the holidays, I think this is a good tune. This is a good tone, I mean, to think about. What will you remember when you're 90? And what will people think of you when you're 90? So anyway, we'll end the show on that. I do have a number of voicemails here. Play those, and then we'll get into the show comments and wrap up. Got four for you. All of them pretty short, but let me go ahead and get the first one queued up here. And again, we'll hopefully the mixer will play along, and we'll be able to run this good. So let me go ahead and play this first one.
Hi, Todd. Brian from Ontario, Canada, calling. I just started catching your show here about the last month or so on my iPhone on the podcast, and I just wanted to call and say that I really enjoy your content, and keep up the good work. And hopefully I'll call back again sometime, okay? I know you don't get enough calls. You like to have more calls, so people should be calling. I don't know why they're not. Anyway, I do really enjoy the show, so take care and keep up the good work. Bye for now.
Hey, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And, you know, it's just, it's like feast or famine around here with the calls. And I appreciate the nice comments, and I hope you have happy holidays, and thanks for being a longtime listener of the show. Here comes the next one.
Hey, Todd. This is Ken Lewis from Santa Barbara, California.
Hey.
I have got a name for your Skypeosaurus.
Yes, you do.
It's called the Skype Ohana. And I think it would be a perfect name, because it would put you in touch with the Ohana through Skype. So the Skype Ohana. Thank you, and hope to talk to you personally one time soon. Bye.
And actually, Ken called right back and said, oh, why did I say? Well, let me play what he said.
Hey, Todd Cochran, Ken Lewis again, from Santa Barbara, California, longtime listener. An idea for Skypeosaurus. I called in once, and I'm going to have another one. So it's either Skype Ohana or Ohanasaurus. Got to keep the saurus in there because it kind of ties it in with what it really is. So I hope those will work for you. Just some ideas, and keep up the awesome, great work.
And Ken, as you said, I kind of really like the Ohanasaurus. So as we said, that's what it is. Congratulations, you're the $50 winner. Send me your PayPal address and we'll get you a little extra Christmas cash there, or little play money for your PayPal account. So appreciate it. Okay, last voicemail. Here we go. This one's a little longer, and this is from one of our long-time listeners.
Hey, Todd. This is Andrew Darlow from a very chilly New Jersey.
Very warm Hawaii.
Better after the Thursday show.
Yeah.
And I'm also sorry to hear about your Kindle. I would definitely look for a protection plan in the future.
Yes.
I think that Amazon offers an additional year for $65, and you can even accidentally drop it or damage it one time and have it replaced. In the last show, you had mentioned that you were looking for a telephoto lens, so this is a little follow-up, and you should know that your Rebel makes any focal length, the equivalent of about 1.5 times the focal length, so a 50mm lens would essentially become like a 75mm lens. So always consider that when you're buying a telephoto. So unless you want to fill the frame with someone's head from about 75 feet, I think you'll really like that 28-135mm image stabilization lens I mentioned. That's a Canon brand. And it's not an L lens. It's made of plastic, but it's actually really good. It's about $300 refurbished from some of the biggest retailers. You can just search for Canon refurbished lens and the focal length, and you'll find them there. Even if you have a normal lens, like an 18-55 already, you can pretty much avoid switching lenses a lot if you have a lens like the 28-135 or something like an 18-200, which you can find from like Tamron or Sigma. They do really great with those. Plus, it's compact, it's lightweight, and it's quite sharp. If you buy a heavy telephoto, you'll probably need a tripod or a monopod to keep things sharp. I was also surprised to see a lot of refurbished lenses, 30-50% off the retail price, so I'd recommend checking them out overall, even on other lenses. So I think they're as good as new, in my opinion, and they usually have a full warranty. So have a great night, and aloha. Bye-bye.
Hey, Andrew, thanks for that. And I tell you, what she wants are the kids are doing, like we get stuck in the back of an auditorium and the kids are doing orchestra stuff, or we're at a sports event. So basically she just kind of wants to get a little closer. So yeah, I think that 35-125, I think that's the one you recommended. I looked at that one you'd sent me an email. I think that's probably the one we're going to go with. But it's a lot of good selections there. I'm going to have to go back and actually listen to that voicemail again and write all that stuff down, but we'll get something dialed in here, and I'll let you know what we pick up. All right, let's go ahead and get into the. Actually, Andrew sent me a whole bunch of sent me an email on this as well, and Andrew's going to join us. I'm going to book him in on the 24-hour podcast. We're going to bring him in, and he's going to do maybe an hour on photography and photography gear. Andrew's has several books out on photography, so he'll be a great addition to the 24-hour podcast. Look forward to having him on, and I'll provide a link that he's given to me today. Got an email from Chad. He says, "Hey, Todd, I love the show. I wanted to send some initial feedback on the audio. The most recent podcast I listened to from November 17th, so I apologize if someone has also brought up the issue and you've already addressed it in a later podcast. When you play voicemails during a listener feedback segment, the volume on them is typically very low, especially compared to when you speak, which is relatively high quality. When you respond to voicemails while they're playing, I either have to turn the volume up to hear the voicemails and my eardrums rupture when you talk, or I have to leave the volume low so that your voice is at normal level and strained to hear the voicemails. I don't know if there's a way to increase the volume of the voicemails when you play them or turn down the microphone when you speak during them. If there's a way to average the volume between the two, that would be great. Thanks for the show and keep up the great work. Chad out of Woodland, Texas." Yeah, that's definitely an issue. And it's something that I'll pay more attention to, Chad. And really what happens is every audio call that comes in is at different levels. You'll notice just on Andrew's, the actual audio level increased a little bit. And I actually tried to make an adjustment to bring it back down. But it's really, I don't have the control right here in front of me. It's actually behind me. So it does make a little bit of a challenge. So I'll try to level it out in the post-processing. We do actually an averaging solution. I call it waveform normalization. So try to do that more on on the actual voicemail call, so you don't have to ride the volume level on your media player. Got an email from another email from Andrew talking about, just thought you'd be interested in reading this, talking about the FCC examining the doubling of the early termination fees. Yeah, they're actually looking at that close, so we'll see what happens there, Andrew. Got an email from Logan. It says, Todd, you recently asked about leaving cable and going to broadcast antenna. He says, I left Comcast about 4 months ago. I've been a steady customer since 83. Before I left Comcast, I did my homework. I started about 6 months before monitoring what my wife and I were viewing and how long we would watch different shows. My research was surprising. We watched the local stations more. Of course, the different cable shows we watched was not on a regular basis. Then the next change in our lifestyle, my wife fell in love with the exercising program. Since she had started enjoying the first part of the evenings on the Wii Balance Board, I got an Xbox after seeing my son-in-law's system connect to my laptop media center in a matter of moments and play the vidcast podcast / music. He says there needs to be a better word describing them as a group of media. And the streaming shows from Netflix, I have since gotten into gaming action also. It's amazing. Still, before I disconnected with Comcast, I contacted a local antenna guy. Found out there was over 55 local channels and three analog stations. All but a handful are in HD. There's some Spanish and religious channels. A lot of the stations had multiple channels broadcasting different shows live 1.5 hours south of Tampa, so my line of sight is good for the local stations to the north and south of me. I made a change 4 months ago. It costs $500 for the installation of the antenna booster and remote control. I figure installation will be paid in 10 months, and as more devices are coming with internet connections and all TV series I've seen on DVD, the handwriting is on the wall for cable and old media. The downside I've experienced is leaving cable. Sometimes the weather will cut reception, but usually the same show is broadcasted from the opposite direction. Oh, and we do miss Monday Night Football, but for the money saved, it's easy to live with. Todd, I'm a few years away from retirement age. I'm leaving controlled media because I'm tired of being called a thief and marketed to constantly when I'm paying for the media to come into my house. We forget how simple media viewing was in the 50s and 60s. The vacuum tube worked or didn't. Remember the tube testing machines? Absolutely, sure did. Later guy, Logan. Matter of fact, I still have one of those. Because there are still some tubes out there. Not many, but a few. Got an email from Ian. He said, hey, Todd, my better half and I are longtime listeners of your show. You have well-deserved reputation for being a straight shooter. If you think something is junk, you say so. Keeping that in mind, we remembered your original favorable review of Magic Jack. Matter of fact, yeah, I've actually talked to those guys a couple of times. Based on that, we decided to purchase two of the units about a year ago. At the time we purchased the unit, Canadian numbers were not available, but we understood and relied on the statement on Magic Jack's website that one could switch their phone number one time without charge. So, learning that Canadian numbers were now available, including our local area, I decided to go through the process of changing the number. However, on the website, I found that only American area codes were listed. I contacted their chat-based tech support and was informed by Gabrielle that if we wanted local Canadian numbers, we would have to purchase two brand new units. It almost goes without saying that I was extremely taken back by these tactics, which I consider not only bad business, but bordering on fraudulent. Following the experience, I decided to do a little bit of research and discovered that our bad experience was relatively mild compared to what some people had been through. All you have to do is Google Magic Jack complaints. You'll see hundreds of complaints spread over dozens of consumer sites. Here are just some examples of the many, many sites featuring complaints about this company, Ian and Deb. Hey, Ian, thanks for this email, and thanks for providing these links to me, because I'm going to be seeing, I'm sure, the Magic Jack guys at CES, and we will talk to them. Now, I do know that they have taken a lot of hits on their customer service. My Magic Jack basically travels in my bag. I use it when I go overseas. I plug it in, and I'm able to make calls relatively easy, or use Skype. But I never have really switched over completely to Magic Jack. So I'm curious to hear what other folks' experiences have been. We got a lot of Ohana, I'm sure, that are using those. Sad to hear that you're having such a big issue, especially since you've already got two of them. It seems to me like it would be pretty simple to move them over, but instead they want you to spend $30 or whatever it is to get new ones. I tell you what, let me see if I can score you some. If you can wait, I'll see if I can score you a couple in Vegas. If I can, I'll bring them back and ship them to you. No promises, but I'll give it a try. Now, find out if they have to be bought in Canada, because the ones I have will probably can't be. They have to be all coded the same, I would think. So let me know. I got an email from a trucker Tom. Amazon in secret plans to open high street shops. Now, Amazon came out today and said that is not the case, but doesn't look to me like what Trucker Tom has found over on timesonline.co.uk. It looks like they're looking to do an invasion of British high street. So those of you that are UK listeners, what do you guys think about Amazon coming to your back, you know, basically to a store near you? So we'll keep a watch on this. Nir, I want to thank you for your suggestion for the Skype box, which we've named tonight. Logan, I want to thank. Actually, Logan actually came up with Skype Ohana 2. Oh, that's close. We called it Ohanasaurus. So that was close, Logan. Really close. I got an email from Jack. Say, hey, Todd, you asked about antivirus products. So here's my thoughts, but they start back in the DOS days. The short version, Norton Antivirus, works, but is big and resource intensive. McAfee works less resource intensive than Norton Antivirus, but they made downgrading almost impossible. CA, Computer Associates, was the next attempt, but this was system resource intensive. They're also a bit expensive. Zone Alarm, they really blew it. This one was so user intensive with pop-ups letting me know about some programs starting that I had to remove it quickly. Me too. AVG, I tried the free version and liked it so much I got the paid version. They were going well until I noticed my network speed was slowed by about 70%. Long story short, AVG was checking every packet entering and leaving my computer. This was one of the features on the paid version, so I went back to the free version for a while. Avast, A-V-A-S-T, good free product. I used it until MSSE. Microsoft Security Essentials, great product, low system resources, load almost no network. User load is RSA caught a virus on a friend's thumb drive. This is what I use on all four Windows machines in my house today and my mother's. And he's got a link to his blog here. I'll put that up in the show notes. Jack, thanks for that. Very, very cool. Jack is going to be coming with us. Is this the same Jack? Yeah, this is the same Jack that's going to be coming to Vegas with us. So we're going to hear a lot more from Jack soon. And, of course, Sam, I thank you for your entry. Sam, sorry I missed you in Central Texas. And I got to just follow the blog, my friend, if you're not listening. I try to put stuff up. And Darren actually pointed me to $10 USB power outlet that I talked about in the show tonight. So thanks on that, Darren, for sending that to me. Eric had submitted some stuff for the Skype box as well. And, again, Ohanasaurus is what it's called now. That's it, folks, and yeah, we went long, as I expected. Geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365, +1-619-342-7365. Be live Thursday night, of course, show release Friday morning, Saturday, 11 a.m. at Geek News Central, 24-hour podcast for 24 hours. If you want to participate as a listener or as a blogger or as a podcaster, if you have something to say, email me at geeknews@gmail.com. We'll get you in, slide you in, or even put you in one of the open slots. So a lot of fun, lots of stuff coming this week. Stay strapped in. We'll have a donation button that'll be in the show notes tonight. If you feel like contributing to Ronald McDonald House Charities, we definitely appreciate it if you do. And until next time, everyone take care and aloha.